Okay. The Elections Committee is actually the next item up. Bill?
Okay. On the agenda, if you'll recall at the last PNB meeting, the last conference call, we had a motion and it was divided, and the first part passed, and the second part is on the agenda right now. I'll read it for the people on the stream. The ED is further instructed to work collaboratively with the Elections Committee to develop an RFP, that means Request for Proposals, for a vendor contract that would be in effect for the 2012 to 2013 elections and would include research on online voting options for the foundations and or measures to reduce costs by at least 25% while maintaining a transparent and secure process. If you're looking for this, it's in the agenda part of the of the Green Book.
Thank you.
The 2010 Elections Committee is charged with developing the RFP to a completed state so that in 2011 a thorough multi-bid competitive process can be engaged in and a contractor in place by no later than 12/2011 for the ensuing 12-year election cycle. Determination needs to be made, one, how to differentiate persons receiving full packages versus those with ballots and return envelopes, and two, extreme care needs to be used in determining how online voting options can be done in a fair and secure way. This was tabled at the last April 6, 2010 meeting. And we also have another motion that's not on here, that but it's in the Election Committee report.
Do you want to move to bring it back from the table?
Yeah, I move that we bring this motion back from the table.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any objection to bring it back from the table? Hearing none, do you want to speak for it, Bill?
I'll let some of the other people on the committee speak for it, and I think Tracy in particular, I think who I know this was amended in committee, so it's kind of not as simple, but is Tracy here?
She was.
I know she wanted to speak on it.
Outside, yes.
Can somebody get her? Let me just summarize a little bit. Again, this was, this is to prepare for not this year's LSB elections, but next year's. The idea was to reduce costs and reduce some of the workload on the national election supervisor and the local election supervisor during these peak times when they tend to get overloaded, and to see what sorts of things could be contracted out. And we've had some discussions on that. We've come up with some recommendations, a few little things we may do this year depending on what we can work out with the with this year's national election supervisor. But again, this was anything would have to be approved later, but the idea is that we'd at least develop a request for proposals. We wouldn't have to be committed to anything. Just like a year ago, we had a request for proposals for election services. We got bids, but we ended up not contracting with anybody for that. So this is a more, would give us more time to develop a proposal defining what we would want or might want to contract out and then ask for bids on that. And Tracy, I was hoping you would be willing to speak on this.
Yeah, the intent of the second half of this motion is to spend a little bit of time reworking the RFP. As someone who did the job as a local collection supervisor, it was clear to me that some of the parameters in the RFP were not accurately described, and I took a look at the quotes that you guys had received, and it seemed to me that in certain areas the prices were not congruent with the amount of work that was actually involved, and I was concerned that they would lead to significant overruns when the contractor came to terms with what they actually had to do as opposed to what was in the RFP. So my hope is, because I think it's it's kind of an important decision, how we're going to do this, is that we could sit down, go through the RFP piece by piece, fix the things that are not correct in it, and then go through a sort of a systematic bidding process so the bids that we get are realistic and accurate, and future PMBs would be able to make the decision about individuals versus companies sort of on a realistic basis. It is my assessment that most of the bids that we got in response to the original RFP had some significant problems. In terms of this amendment, it was both amended and divided, and I think in the ensuing period of time, some of the wording got a little overly complicated. So if it's okay, I'd like to introduce a substitute.
Sure.
Okay. I think the substitute motion would go something like this. The ED is further instructed to work collaboratively with the election committee to develop an RFP for a vendor contract that would be potentially in effect for the 2012-2013 election cycle and would include research on online voting options for the foundation and or other measures to cut costs while maintaining a transparent and secure process. The 2010 Elections Committee is charged with developing the RFP to a completed state so that in 2011 a thorough multi-bid process can be engaged in. I think I would stop the motion right there for the purposes of sort of simplicity. And that's my substitute motion, and thanks.
Second.
You could make that as a straight amendment. I don't think there's any loss there.
Okay.
That's what's on the floor. Is there any discussion of the amendment?
So it's an amendment, not a substitute.
Right.
Sorry.
No, it's Robert's
rules failure.
I don't understand what we're doing.
The amendment would make it clear that this would potentially be in effect, not necessarily, and would strike the last part of the sentence with the details about a contractor in place, et cetera, et cetera.
Point of information.
I'll type it up and email it out.
Yes.
Can someone remind me again what that stands for, that RFP?
Kathy, use your microphone.
Request for proposal.
Oh, RFP. Request for proposal. Thank you.
Okay. Rico, did you want to speak to the amendment or you wanted to speak to something else? Okay. Arlene?
I just want to say that I think it's a very good idea, and I think it's something that should be done, and I've worked with the election committee so far and would look forward to working with them going forward on this.
Any other comments on this? Is there any objection to the amendment? Hearing none, the motion is as amended. Is there any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion passes as amended. And you will get that to Richard.
Okay, now this is in the committee report, which is the next to the last page in your green book under a report from the PNB Elections Committee. And on the page 2 of that, the back side of the sheet, this is to recommend that the PNB strongly encourage the executive director and human resources director to rapidly implement the use of the staff registry software across the network and encourage staff to register their right to vote and run for office. And this was passed by the Elections Committee also.
Is there any objection to this motion? Pauline?
I'm just saying that we, when we had our management meeting of the five GMs or interim GMs last Tuesday, that was one of the issues that we discussed and encouraged them to get back and start work on it. And we're going to follow up on that at our next general manager meeting.
Does the staff registry software actually exist already?
Yes.
It does. Excellent. Okay, so, Sean?
Yeah, I think it should be known that this... Are we on, guys?
Hello, hello? Well, there we go. I think it should be known that not only does it exist, but it was specifically developed for Pacifica and is owned right now by Pacifica, okay? It's good to go and it's ours, okay? If somebody else wanted to use it, they'd have to sign a contract with us or something. So I can't imagine why we would have something developed and then not utilize it in order to ensure fair elections for staff.
Campbell?
As I recall, the primary concern that exists in regard to this is that people will be obliged to provide information, confidential personal information, that they would not otherwise have to provide, and that in terms of staff registry, that this would cause problems, could cause problems for them, and certainly the protections that they are supposed to have vis-a-vis the bylaws and practices of Pacifica would be eviscerated. That's your opinion.
Kathy?
I think that the software is very useful, and I believe that we should use it because, on the one hand, you know, staff demands to be included in the elections fairly, and this is one way to do that. And on the other hand, we're also required to know who's on our air. So if the management can't account for who's actually on the air, then we may very well be breaking FCC regulations. So it serves both purposes, I think.
Leslie?
Yeah, I have a question about... Am I on? Yes. I am. All right. There I go. Okay. Question about the software, and that is, has anyone used it? What data does it collect? And who has access to the software? Is it just a time clock on a computer, or is it more than that? Does it ask more than that? Is it secure? Has anyone worked with it is my question, because I just don't know.
Elliot? Otis? Just a moment. I decide who comes to the floor. Arlene?
Otis can best answer some of those questions, but those are some of the same questions that we asked. And as I understand it, the access will be determined by us. I mean, in other words, it'll be very limited access to who can get the information from it. And it will be a way that the station has up-to-date information on name, address, and phone number, or at least that the all staff, paid and unpaid, have the responsibility for keeping that information up to date, but that the only records that they would, that most people would have access to, would be their own. You know, the station manager, a couple of other people that need further access.
Would this also be used for payroll purposes? Is that?
No. And it wouldn't have that kind of information in it. It's basically, you know, a registry.
It's just for voting purposes.
It's for voting purposes and also for emergency contacts. Having up-to-date information on your staff, if you need to make contact with the entire staff about something, this is a way that, you know, station management would be able to do that.
Otis, did you want to respond?
I can read you a summary if you want.
Does it keep hours? Is that
if you don't want to, it's okay. It's fine, Otis. It just.
Say was it does keep hours, and that's been an issue, the number of hours. And one of the things we've been talking about is being able to, I hate, you know, maybe this would give the wrong idea, that people could sign in with a barcode and sign out with a barcode. One of the problems that we've run into is people signing in a book, not signing out. So it's very difficult to determine, you know, the eligibility. And so it'd just make it easier to do that.
Would it be available for phone room volunteers as well? It's a different category.
Yes. And the other thing is, it's our software.
Right.
We can basically do anything we want with it. And what's out there now is kind of the first iteration of it that basically Ken designed and that I implemented. You know, we made some changes. We discussed it. And it's the beginning of something that could turn out to be very useful. Already there are a couple of things like the barcode thing would just make it really easy for people to get it and get out. Trying to think. Yeah, I think that's
CPB.
That pretty much
CPB
is it.
Reporting.
Yeah, CPB reporting. And as Kathy said, which is significant, we as a radio station must demonstrate control of the airways. And if we don't know who's on the air, that really puts us in a difficult situation. I realize it's sort of antithetical to the Pacifica philosophy that we should be open to everybody, but we should at least know who they are. And so for me, why, if you don't really want your address listed because nobody's going to have it. You can do a P.O. box. There are all kinds of ways of dealing with this so that things that you don't want known aren't out there. And in respect to who has access, there's a very definite system of control of that data so that only certain people have control.
Thank you. Sean?
Your point of information, Otis.
Wait a minute, Otis.
Yeah. Isn't the information like...
I love doing this.
Wait. Isn't the information like address and everything the same stuff you have to put on your papers to run?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that information is already out there and...
Well, if you're running, if you want to run...
For voters. That's what I mean, though, that you're not giving away any personal information that you wouldn't give away if you were a candidate in the race.
No, we specifically don't have in it social security numbers, license numbers, things like that. They're not there. It's name and address, who to contact in the case of an emergency, how we can get hold of you.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like 20 minutes before your show, you're not here. We want to have a number to be able to call you and say, hey, what's happening? You know, do we need to put somebody else on? Are you caught in traffic? You know what I'm saying?
Right, absolutely.
Just, it's basically the idea is it's very, very much focused on our operation. And I have to say, it's our software. We can make it do exactly what we want. We're not beholden to some other, you know,
big corporation
that's going to tell us what we have to do. And I think that's probably the most significant thing, that we can tailor this so that it fits exactly what we want.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there any objection to this motion? Hearing none, the motion passes. Next up, I believe, is the Governance Committee. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, point of information?
Yes.
Yeah. What time are we going to today?
I believe it's 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Thank you.
Let's bring it up. Bring it back from the table. Oh, yeah. I'll give you the chair. And I'll.
You want to motivate them.
Okay.
Then for this section, it's really on the section. You'd be happy to motivate this one and this one. This one, she feels kind of rude because it's kind of my dad's policy. She would like to speak to me.
Okay, so
we can't have a discussion.
I'll put you in the chair for this one.
Right.
Okay. I want to motivate this next item, so I'm going to give the chair to Joe. First of all, this is a proposed bylaw amendment. The substance of it is that you would not be excluded from sitting on an LSB or the PNB if you were simply running for office. If you actually get the office, you will be excluded from it. But the simple act of participating in the election process and putting yourself up as a candidate does not constitute reason for being excluded from the LSB. And at the present time, it does. The bylaws are written in such a way that it prohibits that. So I'd like to bring this back from the table, if I have a second.
Second.
Okay. Let me say that this is something that came up for me personally running as a Green Party candidate. I was planning on running as a Green Party candidate when I remembered that I would have to give up being on the PNB in order to do it. Kamori also was in a similar situation. And the sense of the original bylaws amendment, it seems to me, was to not have people who were in the electoral system or even appointed by people who are in the electoral system because of perhaps divided loyalties between their role in that and their role in this this organization who has a clear sense of purpose in terms of challenging the existing society. However, for some of us, participating in these electoral processes is a way of doing that. It's a way of getting a forum to speak, to reach people, to talk to them about the things that are happening. It seems to me quite consistent with the rest of my life to be doing that and to be here as well. So I would hope that you would support making this a bylaws amendment.
Is there any discussion? Sean, Leslie?
I've been with Pacifica for 10 years, twice during those 10 years. Well, let me start here. I was also the executive director of the Unique People's Voting Project, a ruthlessly nonpartisan voter registration project for disabled citizens that was instrumental in registering over 100,000 disabled citizens. During the last part of that effort, many people encouraged me to run for Secretary of State in order to encourage disabled people to get registered to vote. I also, a couple of years later, ran for the State Assembly as a progressive FDR Democrat who believed in social justice and plenty for all. And just like George said, I enjoyed having a platform. There were 10 debates, and I was very successful in them. When I ran for Secretary of State, I got 86,000 votes for less than $7,000. I was told it was the most cost-effective statewide campaign ever run in California. I went off the air during both of those campaigns because I understood that that would be a disadvantage to other candidates, and I did that willingly and voluntarily. But I do agree with George that it really is a disservice to Pacifica when you have people in your midst who do believe in democracy, who do want to participate, knowing they can't win, but still they can put out a message. And we're condemning that. We're saying you can't sit on our board. And I agree, if you attain the office, you should leave the board. But for merely running and professing ideas that we all hold dear here at Pacifica, please, folks, change this bylaw so that other good progressives that are part of Pacifica don't have to fear that they will lose their position on the LSB or the PNB just because they want to go out and shake things up in a truly grassroots and democratic fashion. Thank you.
Leslie?
Hello? Thank you. My concern with changing this remains the same as when the bylaws were formulated. If I thought all the candidates who wanted to run couldn't win, I'd have less concern. But unfortunately, some of them may be running really competitive campaigns.
What's wrong with that?
And that's what I'm about to explain. If they're running really competitive campaigns, this gives them a lot of influence over hosts, over programmers, over using this microphone that I'm holding right now as a platform in a campaign. It gives them a lot of sway at the station. That was the concern of the original bylaws. Not that as a winner, we all understood that we didn't want politicians on the board, but we didn't want, not as George is concerned with divided loyalties, but running on this board as part of a campaign for some other interest. And this can be used fairly easily as a microphone, as a megaphone, only to facilitate a green campaign or a Democratic campaign or something else. And that was the concern when we laid out the bylaws. I think it remains a valid concern.
Summer?
Hi, yes. I think it's much more likely that people have shows would be able to utilize station resources to promote their campaigns. I think sitting on this board doesn't give us, frankly, much avenue to public discourse whatsoever. People have to come to these meetings, and some people listen to them, but I don't see where it even interacts with a public political campaign. We could certainly, add an amendment that says you can't use, station resources in any particular fashion to promote your campaign, but I don't see how serving on a board, it's not the same as being, you know, someone who has a program who then decides to use that to promote your candidacy. I mean, we could easily have a rule prohibiting that, but you shouldn't be prohibited from being covered, like, with all the rest of the candidates, or if there's a forum or a debate. I mean, I really agree. Most people who are likely to sit on this board are likely to hold political viewpoints which are going to render them unlikely to be elected. But that's the whole point of third-party candidates, is to widen the debate. And the very people who want to widen that debate are likely to want to sit on this board as well. So I don't see any real conflict, and we could certainly insert a rule that would deal with any potentiality of conflict. I mean, you shouldn't be prohibited from exercising your other political activities because you choose to sit on this board. And if you're really committed to sitting on the board, you're not going to want to leave it in order to go run a campaign that you are doing for an existential reason. So you should, you know, it really could curtail someone's entire participation at the local political level for years if they are committed to Pacifica and they end up having to make a choice of which thing do I want to participate in publicly. And I think that's kind of not really fair considering the type of constituencies we have on the board. So I would support this. If there's really discomfort about it, I would be, you know, I would be perfectly willing to try and insert some language that deals with that. But I don't see sitting on the board giving us any extra access to the airwaves. I have to beat my head against a wall to get so much as a 30-second announcement on the air. I've never gotten anything for sitting on this board in terms of station resources. So I don't see that as a conflict personally. I think we should vote for it. Thank you.
Rico?
Yeah. I remember when I first became chair of the LSB at KPFK, and someone said to me, I hope you're not thinking of running for office, because you can forget that now. So I don't know whether being on this board is, well, that pretty much statement says it all. the other thing is, there may be a difference of opinion among this board, but if you start talking about politics, all of a sudden, you'll find that almost everybody on this board lands on the same page. When you start talking about real politics. Yeah. And so with that in mind, I would support this.
Tracy?
I'm not quite sure. I can go either way, but I think one thing we should at least bring into the conversation, because we're having a one-way conversation, which is about how being on this board affects the political campaign in the real world. I think we also need to perhaps consider how the political campaign in the real world affects the sitting on this board. There may be some issues with running joint or concurrent campaigns out in the real world and in the Pacifica environment. I think part of the reason the bylaw is in there, because like Leslie, I actually remember when we were doing all this stuff, was that to have a megaphone, even as a Green Party candidate, however pithy, is in some ways to have a resource to aid one's Pacifica process that is not necessarily available to the candidates one may be running with. And I do want to just put in there, I'm not necessarily opposed. Part of the concern was with disproportionate influences that would allow certain people to have a much easier time getting elected. That applied to staff because they have a megaphone, and in many ways a Green Party campaign is also a megaphone. And I think that is part of the angle that was being thought about when the original bylaw was under development. So I just think we should put that into the calculation.
Bill?
Let's think about the kind of people we'd like to see elected to public office in our cities and our legislatures to Congress. Okay, I'd like to see some people not just elected, but be willing to candidates who would talk about peace and social justice and not be afraid to stand up to the Democrat and Republican people who are supporting the big capitalist, the big corporations and selling us out and this kind of stuff. Now, who might those kind of people be? All right. They're sitting on this board and they're sitting on your LSBs and they cannot even run and talk about those issues as candidates, much less get elected. So I support the motion.
Summer again.
Okay, yeah. Are we there? Hello. Yeah, I totally agree with that, Bill. I think also, you know, this is a pretty brutal environment, frankly, to serve on as a board and everything. And after you've been through a campaign at Pacifica, you might be able to win state assembly, frankly. You know, so, you know, great training ground for future progressive politicos. And I think the point that Tracy is raising has more to do with if you're simultaneously campaigning for election to the board. Again, we could insert a rule that deals with that. You know, thou shalt not campaign simultaneously for election to the Pacifica board and a political office. But I see it totally differently if you're already elected to this board. I mean, you're not campaigning at that point. How much juice are you really going to get out of being, you know, the Green Party candidate or the Peace and Freedom candidate? It's just one more political thing you're doing. You know, it's we're all politically engaged with different things. You know, we've got different things we do. People engage in different ways, and that's how some people engage. And I think, you know what I mean? Like to say, you know, I personally go out and protest in the streets. That's what I do. Other people deal with Congress, you know, and other people run for office. And I just, you know, so again, if that's a concern, it's a legitimate concern, you know, to not be able to, you know, say, ooh, I'm running for Congress and I'm running for Pacifica. Okay, don't do both simultaneously. But if you're already here, you shouldn't be, you know, forced not to participate in anything else. So, you know, I mean, these are legitimate concerns, but I don't think they in any way, you know, obviate the intent of the motion, which is that you be able to participate fully as a political activist out there in the world. Thank you.
Leslie?
I hear from my colleague to my right some concerns that, yes, indeed, this does need to be modified or have some rules attached to it. I am not strictly opposed to it myself, except for some of the caveats that I think we're discussing here. I also have some concerns about our 501c3 status, the FCC and CPB money, because I just have concerns, and I would like to hear from our general counsel on that before we move forward. Because of all of that, I would like to refer this back to the election committee to write these caveats that we've been talking about, to consult with the general counsel, and before we put this out as a bylaws amendment, to make sure it's clean and we've got some good agreement on it and that we're not going to mess up down the line. And that is my substitute motion, that we refer this back to elections just to clean it up.
I think it's governance.
Governance, excuse me.
Okay, yeah. Sean and then George.
I firmly believe that a wiser rule would be if you're a programmer, you have to leave your program, at least step down temporarily during the campaign, because that's where you would have influence, not on this board. But if you're a candidate running for office and you're doing a weekly show, as I did, that's when you should, what you should step down from. And I did so willingly, and I volunteered to do it.
And so okay. Did Jerry Brown.
Right. So what I'm saying is that, to me, would be the place where you would have undue influence. Definitely not on this board. Thank you.
Well, yeah, George. I was going to make an amendment to sort of handle the situation that Tracy was suggesting. However, the bylaw, as it's written, already deals with that. It says a delegate shall be deemed to have resigned the position of delegate if she attains a public office or accepts political appointment during his or her term as delegate. That means you're already on the board.
That's right.
So the situation which was being concerned about, of somehow using a campaign for Green Party to sort of get yourself on the board, although I think Rico's I don't know whether that would do you any good or not, but it's not really addressed by this bylaw one way or the other. So I think it's clear enough. What's in the bylaws? I mean the only difference is I took out one word. Well, two words out of what's the existing bylaw. There's nothing to be cleaned up here. I think we just vote on it.
So, anybody else to speak to this, Rico?
What about Leslie's suggestion of having counsel speak on the merits of this?
This is purely a policy issue. There's no legal requirement that would prohibit you from taking any action on this either way. It's clearly your prerogative.
So, Leslie, the motion, I guess, on the floor is Leslie's motion to send this back to the governance committee.
Yes.
So shall we take...
No, it was a second.
Is there a second for that motion? I assume there was. So Nia is seconding the motion. Nia, was that a second?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Will the secretary please take the... Well, let's have a vote. Is there any opposition to Leslie's motion?
Yes.
Well, then let's take a vote. All those in support of Leslie's motion to refer this back to the Governance Committee. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I think. Okay, the motion fails. So we'll move back to the main motion. I think everybody's aware that what this does doesn't implement this. It sends it, and it goes forward to the LSBs for consideration, and then the three LSBs support it.
Point of information?
Yes.
And doesn't it take three of the five LSBs to support this to make it an official bylaw change?
Correct.
Thank you.
Correct. Yes, Campbell.
I noticed on the bylaws that are online, there's no indication of certification. There's no indication of certification of the amendments, and the only certification was for the initial bylaws. And it seems to me like if that's an oversight, you know, we don't know that three of five listening areas voted for anything. It may just have been that the people who had control over the website were able to change things as they kind of felt like maybe they should be. And I think it's essential, it should be a legal requirement to have a certification by the secretary of the amendments that were passed and when they were passed.
Makes sense to me. What do you have, Summer?
It doesn't address, I mean, I agree with you, things should be certified. This is coming from Technology Committee, of which Kathy is chair, but we are working to clean up all of the stuff that appears on the Pacifica website, bylaws, you know, that there's a current copy with all the amendments, that we get things updated so that when you go to the website, you get current information and data. This was what we discussed on our last meeting. This is something we're actively working on with the technology, Otis and John. Okay, so I'm hoping that this year we're going to get everything cleaned up so when you go to the website, you get fresh financials, you get bylaws, and that all of this will be taken care of. It doesn't address the underlying issue of certification, but in terms of what you see when you go out there publicly, we're working on this. Okay.
Right. So where we are, we're trying to move to a vote on the main motion, but I guess if people have... Sure, but Rico was on the stack before you, so...
Thank you. Ms. Reese said earlier that she would support, you know, having a look at the language. I think that's what Ms. Radford is asking for. If we're going to make changes, I think we should make changes that we can live with. Mr. O'Brien also stated that he voluntarily stepped down from his show, but you know, not everybody. Maybe the next person might not be as willing to do so. So maybe some language is needed, because whatever we choose, we got to live with that. I don't see why we're in such a rush and that sending it back and looking at some language and getting it right might be the thing to do.
Sean.
I'm not worried about certification because every LSB has to vote, and I think a nice roll call vote would prove whether they certified it or not. And what was your concern, Rico?
My concern was that if we're going to make a change in this, let's make it better. There's some language that could be added, not a lot.
I know, yeah, right. I propose an amendment that if a person on the LSB or PNB runs for political office, they must step down from their show. Any programmer that runs for political office and sits on the LSB or the PNB must step down from their show for the duration of the campaign. That's the amendment.
Second.
Is there discussion on that amendment, Bill?
You know, I don't have a problem with the spirit, but it's not needed because we'd lose our 501c3 status anyway if we had a candidate with a show because it gives unfair favoritism to that candidate. So,
you're right.
I mean, we have a policy already. We've had programmers. There's two right now at our station that had to step down because they're running for office this year.
Thank you. Thank you. I withdraw the... Can I withdraw the amendment? Is there still time or is it with the body?
I think it's now the property of the body. So Campbell is next on the stage.
It, with the prospect of withdrawal of the amendment, I think that the issue is probably put to rest.
Fair enough. Shall we move to a vote on the main motion? All those in favor of the main motion? Will the secretary please take the roll?
Thank you. Okay, am I on?
Yes.
Okay, Nia Bediako?
No, what's the rush?
That's Kathy right. Davis?
Yes.
Jennifer Jaeger?
Yes.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Alonzo Brown, Campbell Johnson?
No.
Kimberly Orendorf?
Yes.
Marcel Reed?
Same.
Jim Bennett, Afia Wangaza?
Yes.
Shiram Agmir?
Shiram?
He's not here.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Abstain.
Andrea Turner? Joe Wenzala? No, you're chair, right? But chair can still vote, huh?
Oh, yeah, Joe.
George
can vote. Joe can't vote, but I can.
Right.
Actually, Joe can vote.
Right. We've known that. Okay. Right. You don't want to right now. Yeah. Sean O'Brien.
Yes.
Leslie Radford.
Abstain.
Summer Reese. Rico Ross.
Abstain.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
George Ryder.
Yes.
Alberto Lorero. I don't think he's here. He's ill. Richard Uzzell, yes. Ten. Two. Four. So Dr. Pepper.
Okay, so motion passes.
Point of information?
George is not back.
Doesn't it need two-thirds?
Is that two-thirds?
No. No.
It's a simple majority. So, George, what is the next step? Does it immediately go to the...
No, we should look to see. We have a certain time period.
Yeah,
that's what I want
to know. What's the timeline?
And it's about a three-month period. And we should do it, I think, before the summertime sometime.
Right.
We should put out all the bylaws amendments. We're going to do it one time because we have to do it all at one time. I'm talking about the vote of the LSPs.
All the LSPs. You got to get three out of five. Right, right.
Yeah. I'm hoping, actually, that there'll be some more bylaws amendments coming out this year.
It can't be a month. It's much too short to get through five. Yeah, we don't even get agendas done in a month, okay?
George, have a point of information?
Well, I'd like to make my point before we do that. In response... Excuse me, Nia, you were talking while I was trying to make the point. I was trying to respond to what Sean's question was. So I'm hoping that there will be other bylaws amendments coming through, and there is some in front of the governance committee at the moment. So I'm suggesting we wait at least a month before we actually try to implement the bylaws process.
Could I get my point of information?
Yes.
Is it a majority of the Pacifica National Board body in order to get this done, or the majority of the members present? It's the majority of the body. And the vote is 10 to 2 to... What is it?
10 to 4.
10 to 4. The majority of the PNB would be 12.
I believe that's correct. Is that what the bylaw says?
Of the entire board. It's of the...
Well, let's take a look.
We went through this on the phone.
for the other one?
Article 17.
Article 17,
section 1. Section 1B. Must be approved by the majority of all directors on the board.
Of all the directors, we went through this on the phone with the other one.
So it needs 11.
You voted to tie.
So it failed.
Okay, the motion fails.
Can I just add one other
yes.
thing? With respect to your question, Sean, which it says...
I think so.
The delegates shall vote on the proposed amendments within the same calendar month as the board. I'll read it again. The delegates shall vote on the proposed amendments within the same calendar month as the board.
So it's a good thing that it failed.
basically, you've got to schedule this so that the board votes at the beginning of the calendar month, and then set it up with the LSB so that they're in a position to vote within that.
This is clearly a bylaws that should be changed.
That's right. That's a good design. Motion to reconsider. I want to give notice here for a motion to reconsider at the next
meeting.
You've been duly noticed.
Okay. Actually, it doesn't need a motion to reconsider. Reconsider is only in the same meeting. So you can simply bring it up again.
Pardon me, a motion to rescind?
You can simply bring it up again.
Bring it up again. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
I seriously think that we need to change the procedure for modifying the bylaws. This is a
right. We really yeah. do. This is that they didn't give us 90 days. This
is yes.
At least 90 days. Well, no, that's not enough. The same that's the person who wants bylaws changed.
Okay, let's move on, folks.
Oh, but I'm getting there.
It's good that it's clarified in any case.
Thank you.
And thank you, Nia, for clarifying.